Hello and welcome to lesson number 4 in 1 Timothy. We call it God's Church Manual because a manual tells us how we ought to do things, and Paul writes to the pastor of that church at Ephesus that he may know how he ought to behave himself in the house of God. And so we want to be able to learn how to do things in the work of the Lord, which of course is the local church. I mentioned before that I have said again and again over the years in the churches that I've pastored, if you want to see if I'm doing my job according to the scriptures, study 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus. Those three books are written specifically to the pastor to tell him how he ought to behave in the house of God. And so if I'm not doing my job right, please come and let me know and I'll fix it. But if we're doing the job right, then what we need to do is get behind the pastor. Now, as we look into chapter 2, Paul said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So we have in this little verse 4 elements of prayer. The first one is supplications, and simply has to do with making requests. Now, our context here is the local church. And the local church will have many requests to solve problems that only God can solve. If we try to solve these problems in the power of the flesh, usually what happens is we'll do more harm than good. The second one is prayers, and that simply has to do with the act of worship that should accompany all of our prayers. Sometimes I think we pray with our needs in mind rather than taking time to worship the Lord. Then, number 3, intercessions, which is taking the needs of others before the Lord. Now, we have already seen that there were some real troublemakers in the local church there at Ephesus, and those troublemakers had some needs. You'll notice it says back here in verse number 1 that we are to be giving of thanks, that giving of thanks be made for all men. Well, that would include those troublemakers. The Bible says, pray for them which despitefully use you. And so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we read, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him that he might be ashamed. That's part of the verse, but the verse ends by saying, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother who has needs, and a brother to whom we should be praying to the Lord about. And then finally, giving of thanks. The phrase give thanks is found 31 times in the Old Testament and 9 times in the New Testament. And notice it says here in our verse, giving of thanks be made for all men. So we're going to have to say, all right, thank you, Lord, for that one that's given me trouble today. Why? Well, because sometimes our critics can be our best friends. And not only that, it's an opportunity for us to look at the situation not as a problem, but as a project. How would God have me handle this situation where I have someone who I'm trying to help is really just kicking me in the head? Give thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you for trusting me with this. Now I need your power to handle it the way I ought to handle it. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Notice it doesn't say for everything. It says in everything give thanks. Big difference here. And so as we look into chapter 2 and verse 2, for kings, praying for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So it says to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. God's word is very plain concerning his structure of authority in the home, in the church, in the government, and on the job. The Bible covers all of that. We are to pray for all that are in authority. Since we are commanded to pray for all that are in authority, there is no authority on earth that cannot be influenced by prayer. So when we think of authority, we usually think of governmental authority. However, this verse includes all that are in authority. Now, if you're a teenager listening to this program and you're having problems with your parents, what should you do? You should pray for them. I heard a story one time of some people in a local church who were having a serious problem with their pastor. He was doing so many things wrong, and they did what they should have done. They started praying for him. They prayed that he would get saved, and he did. Interesting. Verse number 4, it says that God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now notice what it says here. He would have all men to be saved. And then, once they're saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now truth is foundational to all of the scriptures. And so in 1 Timothy 2:4, he talks about the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:7, I speak the truth, Paul said. In chapter 3 and verse 15, talks about the church being the pillar and ground of the truth. And then in chapter 4, he said, know the truth. Chapter 6, he talked about those that are destitute of the truth. Now, the phrase the truth occurs 87 times in the Bible, and it's talking about the truth. It's not talking about the truths, plural. That occurs 0 times in the Bible, because there's no such thing. There's only one truth. And so we look at the phrase all truth, and that occurs only one time in the Bible, and it only needs to be there one time. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. There's only one truth. Verse 5 says there's one God, and there is one mediator, and there is also one truth. Verse 6 says he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now that's the truth. He gave himself a ransom for all. There is a lie going around today that's called Calvinism that says he gave himself a ransom for some. That simply is not true. Calvin said, we call predestination God's eternal decree by which he compacted with himself what he willed to become of each man. For all are not created in equal condition, rather eternal life is foreordained for some and eternal damnation for others. Now you can choose to believe Calvin's heresy, or you can choose to believe the Lord. The Bible says that God gave himself a ransom for all. Calvin said that God gave himself a ransom for some. You have to decide who you're going to believe here. It doesn't take me much brain power to figure this one out. I have a book called Calvinism. None dare call it heresy. And it is heresy. When you're attacking the character of God that says he brought some into this world that can't get saved, he only brought them in for eternal damnation. It might be your little girl, it might be your mother, it might be your wife, it might be your father, it might be your pastor for that matter, according to their nonsense. He has foreordained some to eternal damnation. That is an outright slam, an attack on the character of God, that God would bring people into this world for no other reason than watch them burn in hell for eternity. That is heresy. If you're interested in that book, it's available on Amazon, CA, or Amazon in the U.S., Amazon.com. You can get it there. If you're in Canada, I have a few copies here that I can get for you. If you're in a small church in Canada, I'm talking small churches now, most of them are, and you would like a copy of this book, I know what it's like to pastor a small church. There's not a lot of money around. And as long as the supply lasts, I'll send you a copy. If you just email me, at no charge, just email me at bobkirkland7@gmail.com if you would like a copy of this book. All right, in verse number 7, Paul said, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. He said, I speak the truth. What truth is he talking about? What he just said in the previous verse, that the Lord gave himself a ransom for all. Once again, Calvin said he gave himself a ransom for some. No, the Bible says God gave himself a ransom for all. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse number 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, without wrath and doubting. An issue like Calvinism might stir up a spirit of contention. In fact, it's been my experience since I wrote that book. I've learned a little bit about a spirit of contention. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. We don't get contentious because we're standing up for what we think is right on a doctrinal subject. We get contentious because of pride. Do you believe the Bible? Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. It is a waste of time to cuddle our pride while we pray. The Bible says God's people are to humble themselves and then pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14. A close study of the word doubting in verse number 8 will show that the word refers to human reasoning and opinion. It is a waste of time to pray with a contentious spirit based on our opinions. God does not have any opinions. God deals with truth. The phrase, the truth, is found 82 times in the Word of God, 10 of which are found in 1 and 2 Timothy. Lifting up the hands while praying was a common thing in Paul's day. Moses said, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord. The Bible says Solomon spread forth his hands toward heaven. David said, hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. The emphasis in this verse for us is not lifting up the hands. The emphasis is on holiness. Psalm 66:18 plainly says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Well, that concludes our study for today. Be sure to tune in for our next study in lesson number 5 in God's Church Manual.